Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. Top two teams in the NL Central on NBC Sports Chicago tonight. Yesterday, Brewers beat the Cubs in a wild one at Miller Park. What happens tonight? Game two. Baseball night in Chicago continues our coverage at 6:30. Len and JD have your call at the top of the hour. Khalil Mack gets ready to face the pack, but how much will he play Sunday night in Green Bay? Oh, by the way, it'll be Mitchell Trubisky's first meaningful game at the helm of Matt Nagy's offense. Will there be growing pains for the sophomore QB? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. Good start to your week. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. From ESPN 1000, he is our guy, Chris Black. From The Score, The Morning Show, The Mully and Haw Show, and The Tribune, he is our guy, David Haw. And from ESPN, ESPN.com, he's all over the place. He is a Bears beat writer now. He is a Bulls and NBA writer. He's the great Nick Friedel. All right, how much will Khalil Mack play on Sunday? Alex Brown was here on Saturday. I bumped into the former Bear. I said, so does this guy play against the Packers? He said, he got $141 million. You're damn right he plays. How much does he play?
He hasn't missed a game in 4 years, Cap. I think he plays more than half. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I think they're going to probably watch him, see how much he, you know, is he in shape? Is he going to have that burst? I think the answer is going to be yes and yes.
Yurko said today to me that he believed second and seven, any third down and more than 3 or 4 yards, he will be in the game.
Passing situations with the Green Bay Packers are one in the – every down is a passing situation. So I think that's probably a good call by Yurko's part. It wouldn't shock me at all if he ends up playing 35 snaps.
Yeah, I could see him definitely playing. He's an all-pro player who's been in the league for many years. He knows how to get his body right, get ready for the game. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there for the majority of snaps, especially in passing situations. I totally agree with you guys.
This guy's the man. He's going to win them some games this year. And if you're the Bears, you've invested this much, I don't see any reason not to get him out there, so long as you believe he's healthy. And like David said, you just keep an eye on him throughout. But you've got to get him out there if he feels like he can contribute and help you win.
And you're not talking about – it's not that difficult, okay? Here's where Khalil Mack lines up. There's the quarterback. Draw a line between here and there, A to B. Get the quarterback.
Go get that
this
guy.
This is not Roquan Smith trying to balance, okay, this is what my read is going to be. This is what defense secondary is going to be in. This is my audible. This is what I call the talking in my head. No. Khalil Mack has one job. Get to the quarterback in a hurry, in a bad mood.
In a bad mood.
In a
Make
bad
his
mood.
Life very
yes.
uncomfortable on Sunday Night Football. It's going to be great to watch. You know, Saturday morning, I wake up and I'm, as I do always, scrolling through Twitter, and there's, you know, a couple stories that he's not going to be traded. And then, like, 2 minutes later, there's the Schefter tweet, and it's like, wait a minute, is that a verified account? No way. And then I jumped in the shower and told the world how happy I was.
With your camera.
With my phone.
How many views do you have with that thing now?
A lot.
A lot?
What would you have tweeted on the shower cam if this wouldn't have happened? That's like a grocery list, the Cubs.
Got to go to the farm. I'm going to get cheese at the farmer's market.
So thank goodness.
If he'd have gone to the Packers, I would have been very disappointed.
But absolutely, Cap. But I think, though, your little mini enthusiasm, I mean, Cap Cam, captured what everyone in Chicago felt. This was the most exciting day to be a Bears fan since the Jay Cutler trade. And I know you hated that trade, but that was a sense of anticipation and enthusiasm that it felt familiar, right? Because Jay Cutler represented a lot of possibility. The Bears had gotten their franchise quarterback. This feels much the same way, except for there's a difference. Khalil Mack is much more proven at his craft,
no question,
than Jay Cutler was when he came to Chicago.
And when he left the Raiders, people are saying, wow, they lost a good one, a great teammate and a hard worker, whereas Denver went, you can have him.
Sure, and it's also big for Ryan Pace. I mean, we thought he was bold with the way he went after Mitch Trubisky. This is a bold move as well, and it lets Bears fans know that this team is a major market team that wants to win now. Huge for Ryan Pace, and this should work out. Khalil Mack, fantastic, and I love the move. It's fantastic.
More or less pressure on Mitchell Trubisky?
See, I think less. I think this reduces the burden for a guy who we don't know a lot about. I think that we like Mitchell
More or less on Matt Nagy?
I think probably more.
No
I think
question.
As a head coach, you
more
have...
More or less on Ryan Pace?
I think that he has removed some of the pressures on him. I think there's probably less for him because this is a continuation of a very strong offseason.
I don't think there's any doubt for me, guys, that there's more on Trubisky because Trubisky has to be what Pace and Nagy and the Bears staff believes he can be over time. And
not now,
but
not
David,
right away.
Maybe not right
Sunday.
Away, but during the season, there's going to be a point in the season after the first few games where you got to go, this is our guy, and he's ready to take another step. And this has been my point all along to all the people that are saying, Trubisky's it. We know we got the guy. Based on what exactly? In a year, he played 12 games. He had some flashes. You didn't see much. You basically saw nothing in the preseason.
But, Nick, hold on. You say that. But look, right now, if they wouldn't have gotten Mac, and you would have said, Trubisky, how do the Bears win on Sunday night? Trubisky's got to have a great game, right? Trubisky's got to have a great game without Khalil
Mack. But now you can go, they could be really good defensively.
He could complete 60% of his passes and play okay and not get them beat, and they still can win the game. That's why I think the burden is lessened.
Yeah, just basically don't screw it up. And I think you guys could both be right because for it to be less pressure, if he is just okay, I think everything just moves along and there is less pressure. If he's really bad or it just never really takes off this season, I think the pressure will build this year if he's not good. But I think both scenarios could definitely pan out.
I just don't think he's going to be really, really bad.
Yeah.
I just think that, Nick, I agree here. I think that we're going to like him.
So
they want us to love him.
So does he need to be a game manager, for lack of a better term? Hey, man, just don't screw it up. Or, no, he's in a high-octane offense with weapons. Go get him, kid.
He's got 12 NFL starts. It'd be unrealistic and ridiculous to expect him to be anything more than a game manager at this point of his career. That's what I'm saying, is that the burden placed on him before this point was ridiculous.
What was Jared Goff last year? What was Deshaun Watson
Jared
last
Goff
year?
Jared Goff started so much more in
what
college.
What was Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz came to the NFL so much better prepared than Mitch Trubisky was. He had played so much more football, both those guys. That's what I mean. All these comparisons to the Eagles, to the Rams, they were unfair to Trubisky and the clock that we placed on his career development. Now, okay, Chicago, take a deep breath, relax. Now you can be realistic about your Bears quarterback.
But here's the issue I had on Saturday, guys, is I'm watching all the reactions come in. Khalil Mack is unbelievable. I think we all agree on that. The city is all fired up, and they should be. The second thought I had was, oh boy, Trubisky better be good. Because if he's not good, it doesn't matter. It does not matter how good your defense can be.
It does, though, Nick.
No,
it's the
because
NFL,
you,
man.
Because you cannot win a title unless you're Trent Dilfer playing with the best defense of all time
in Baltimore. The Broncos won a title because of Von Miller, not Peyton Manning.
They had Peyton Manning still with
Peyton
the ability
Manning
to make
was
some
not
plays.
Peyton
he was
Manning
a shell of himself.
At that
absolutely,
stage of his
but
career.
He still had the ability
the
to make some
being,
plays. Nothing, here's the problem I have with anybody who's going saying, okay, Trubisky this or that. Based on what? He's done nothing to this point.
He picked up a lot in that Dahl Loggins offense.
He's done nothing. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be that great or that bad. I think that's the issue, though, because everybody's saying, to David's point, oh, they want us to love him. Based on what? If he's not good, I don't care what they gave up for Khalil Mack. I don't care how dominant Khalil Mack is the next few years. If Mitch Trubisky isn't good enough, they're not going to get to where they want to go.
I don't agree with that. I think that he doesn't have to be Jared
Tom
Goff.
Brady.
He doesn't have to be Tom Brady. He doesn't have to be a top 10 quarterback now. Your equation, your math changed. To me, that trade for a guy you guaranteed, okay, $90 million to a pass rusher in his prime, you identified him as the most important player in your franchise. That wasn't the case 3 days ago. That was Mitch Trubisky. So we're splitting hairs here, but the point is that in the NFL, you can win with defense. And the Bears have become a defensive football team again. This is more in line with their tradition. You don't have to like it, but that's the way it is.
You know, they did go to a Super Bowl in 2006 with Rex Grossman at the controls.
Did they
this
win?
Is more, this is,
They were leading in the fourth quarter.
Did they win?
This is more in line
bottom
with the Rex Grossman Bears. It is.
But you, wait. Well, now we're saying Rex Grossman, though. This is a guy you gave up picks to move up for in the second spot of the draft.
I think he'll be better than that.
Okay. Nick's on to something because this is the key. If Trubisky is really good, this can be an elite team in the league.
Right.
If he's just okay and we have to wait a couple of years to figure out what he is, then, yeah, they might be 8-8 for a few seasons. We might sniff the playoffs. But I agree, Nick. They're not going to win a Super Bowl if Trubisky's just okay. He's got to be elite.
He's got to be good.
Even teams with elite defensive units still don't always win
championships.
I'm not
ready to say that yet. I've seen too many teams win because of their defense. The Jacksonville Jaguars went a long way last
year
because of their defense.
They should have been in the Super Bowl.
Well, if they had a different quarterback, they probably would have been.
Every year.
He actually played well.
So, I don't know. I'm not ready. We don't know enough about Trubisky to make these kind of grand sweeping conclusions.
All right. Joe Maddon went ballistic. Cubs bullpen melted down. Chris Bryant decided not to throw out the winning run at home. And all that happened in just game one between the Cubs and the Brewers. So what happens tonight in game two? And is this a rivalry or is Cubs legend Cole Hamels correct? Meanwhile, Ricky's boys are still not quitting. So with Kopech here and Aloy coming, could the Sox push for the postseason as early as 2019?
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Thursday night at 6, come out and watch some Chicago baseball as NBC Sports Chicago hosts a Miller Lite viewing party. Join us at Champion Sports Bar in Plainfield for free giveaways and to watch Chicago take on Washington. Chris Black's favorite spot, so check it out.
Let's do it.
And please drink responsibly. All right, yesterday, Cubs are hanging in. Jesse Chavez trying to make a pitch, kid. And what a stop by Chris Bryant of a rocket. Bad decision. He goes third to first looking for the double play. Can't get it turned. Brewers win. Look, you've got to go home there. You have to.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hard guy to pick on.
Look when he gets it. Look how much space there is.
It's a great play just to pick it right there. But you've got in your head be conditioned to say, okay, I'm going home. I'm getting the lead runner. I'm not taking any chance to lose this game by being wrong in this assumption.
If he was standing right next to the base, I get it. But when he had to go that far to the bag, no chance.
He was turned, and I think just taking the quick pivot and going home, obviously the right play, but in survival situation, knowing that the winning run is on third, how could you let that slip by? Like, it's a weird mental mistake that usually this team doesn't make. You know, because they play so free under Maddon in the way that they just all know, like, hey, just go all out. You'll figure it out along the way. And that's just kind of like the motto of this team. We see it from Javi Baez all the time. Surprising move from Chris Bryant yesterday.
Learn from it, move forward. The fact that the Cubs are in this position in the last few weeks of September, given where they were in the ups and downs at times throughout the season, I feel great. I feel really excited about their chances in the postseason and for what they've done without Darvish at all, and Chatwood's been awful. The only thing that scares me, guys, is the expectations are completely different after you win a World Series. I don't believe, as much as I want them to, that they can win a World Series this year without Darvish. I hope that they prove me wrong.
See, I disagree. They can win without Darvish. I don't know if they can win without Brandon Morrow.
That's the key.
I don't know.
Why do you think they can win without Darvish?
Because they haven't had him. You can't miss what you never had.
My whole point is you need that guy. In a World Series.
I got that guy.
Cole Hamels replaced him.
Yeah. Cole Hamels has been magnificent.
Better than magnificent.
Absolutely.
Hendricks looks like he's the Hendricks from 16 now. John Lester's got 15 wins.
What about your man Quintana? You feel good running him out there in the playoffs?
You don't have to feel good about Quintana.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that right now.
I am really surprised. You guys really think that those three guys carrying the weight for – the better part of a month can get them all the way there.
That are elite starters in the playoffs that are pitching at a high level, that is good enough to feel good about your chances. Yeah.
David's right. But I mean, it's left-handed relievers. That's what you need to be worried about, Nick.
Now, if the umpires don't like Joe Maddon, that's a different story. John Heyman told David on his show today. But let's talk about Cole Hamels. First of all, he was named National League Pitcher of the Month for August for his .69 ERA and his undefeated record since coming over from the Texas Rangers. But Cole Hamels also had some pointed remarks saying that the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cubs, not really a rivalry when you look in the stands and most of the fans are wearing Cubby blue.
I think it was entertaining. You have to be a veteran to be able to say what he said. You don't want a rookie or a young, inexperienced pitcher
saying
that. By
the way, there's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question, NBCSportsChicago.com.
Cole Hamels replaced Yu Darvish in the Cubs rotation, but he replaced Jake Arrieta at the microphone. I mean, that's a swagger that, you know, Arrieta brought to the Cubs that they've been missing. It's okay. If he can back it up, and this is a guy that hasn't given up an earned run, I think, in weeks. So I'm okay with it.
I loved it. I mean, you go to Brewers games, it's a Cubs home game. We've all been out to Miller Park and seen it. I just love that he had the fortitude to say it, because a lot of guys may say it when the mics aren't on. And like you said, David, with Arrieta, you knew that you'd get the truth whenever he spoke. With Hamels producing the way he is on the field, on top of having been in the league for so long, he can say what he wants.
You know,
and
what
they can
makes
back
a
it up.
It's when you got two teams that are really good that play each other a lot. Because in today's day and age with free agency and guys moving all about, it's not as much of the front of the jersey and the back of the jersey as much as the standings. So the fact that the Brewers and the Cubs are fighting for first place, they have for now 2 years in a row, that makes a rivalry.
They're sort of fighting for first place.
Yeah, sort of, but still.
I mean, the Brewers are there. They're four games back.
They're the closest thing. I mean, the Cardinals have been.
They're making every move possible. Could they make any more waiver wire pickups? I mean, they've really been active. But does anybody really feel like the Cubs are threatened legitimately by the Brewers?
No.
Are you still more worried about the Brewers than the Cardinals?
Probably.
Yeah, 5.5 games is a big hurdle for the Cardinals. I don't think either one of them scare you too much. I mean, not in the National League. I think the Cubs are probably.
You just have to go out. You play them two more here, three in Chicago next week. You have to go out of those remaining five, 3-2.
Don't get swept.
Correct.
If you avoid getting swept, you're going to be okay. And with the way the calendar is, you just got to tear another day off the calendar. You got to win tonight. If you don't win tonight, you got to win tomorrow night and just avoid a sweep.
And with that starting pitching, the way it's going so far with the top three at the top, they're not going to get swept.
Nick says worry about Quintana.
Well, I mean, he's always worried about Quintana. Cap's never
not as much as my main Cap is.
Silence.
Hey, Buick Regal's a nice car. Don't knock that.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Ricky's boys just don't want to quit. Daniel Palka has 6 ninth inning home runs. White Sox roared back yesterday, and you got to tip your cap, man. This team, 14-6 their last 20. Here's my question for you. Think back to the 2014 Chicago Cubs.
Right.
Their second half.
The Renteria Cubs.
Correct. Their second half was when they turned the corner, and then they hit 2015 running and got rolling and won 97 games. Is this team at that point yet or no?
Cap, you look at the last 11 games, they got the best ERA in the American League for their starting pitching rotation. And that is the way that you answer that question, is that if they can get that rotation, Rodon, Kopech, Giolito, Lopez, and who's going to be your fifth starter? Maybe it's a veteran, maybe it's Dylan Cease. I don't know next year. But if they can be consistent, they're going to surprise some people.
Got to put a bullpen together. All right, it's now or never for Nick's favorite sport, NASCAR's Cup Series drivers on the playoff bubble. Who has the most work to do at the regular season final race at the Brickyard? Scott Paddock will be in our studio to discuss that and some huge news concerning the defending champion and his team. Shocking. STL back after this.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/baseballnightinchicago.
One of NASCAR's crown jewel races, Southern 500, under the lights at Darlington Raceway. It's a NASCAR throwback race. Many cars sporting retro paint schemes. Lap 312, Clint Bowyer slams right to the back of flying Ryan Newman. Huge collision. Both veteran drivers are all right. This race was dominated by Kyle Larson, but Brad Keselowski beat Larson off pit road during a late caution. Keselowski wins the 69th Southern 500, his first victory of 2018. Regular season finale is next week at Indianapolis. Scott Paddock is in our studio, president of Chicagoland Speedway. Okay, let's talk about this news about Martin Truex Jr. that came down today.
Yeah, unfortunate. You know, sponsorship is such a key part of this industry, and one of their primary sponsors for Furniture Row Racing had announced that they were going to be departing. So it kind of threw Martin Truex kind of up for grabs as a free agent now, and he won't be out there for long. There's already talk that he's going to join the Joe Gibbs.
Isn't that like Khalil Mack going, guy in his prime?
It really is.
Anybody can scoop him up?
It really is. Yeah. So, and there were some health issues of the owner of Furniture Row Racing that came into play here. So,
what does it cost to sponsor a car or put a car out there?
The primary teams, if you want to compete for a championship now, it's going to cost you about $25 million a year, $20 to $25 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah. As opposed to when, I know when Gatorade first got involved back in the late 70s, it was about $300,000 a year for a primary season-long paint scheme. So the economics have gone up. And, you know, there's no salary cap in this sport, right? And it's, in many ways, it's an arms race between these owners whom are very, very competitive.
And it's $25 million to run a car, not to be the sponsor.
No, to field a competitive
team. Field a car.
Team. Yep. It requires about a $25 million sponsorship contribution.
So when that happens to somebody who's as accomplished as he is in the sport, does that have a ripple effect? Do people start to check their own, you know, finances? Does it have any, like, concerns about the stability of people's teams or the sport?
Well, you know, it's going to have a ripple effect now on who's driving for whom. And they call it silly season now this time of the year when everyone's up for grabs. So there'll be a domino effect because Truex is going to bump somebody out of a good Joe Gibbs seat, right? And then he's going to go down. Daniel Suarez is kind of the target right now, and then it'll have a ripple effect there. But, you know, most teams now, they get a percentage, Dave, of the television money, which is pretty substantial these days. But then sponsorship's still a key component of it. And, you know, when you lose a big sponsor like that and you can't replace it right away, it's going to have a ripple effect, no doubt about it.
Will Jimmy Johnson be in the chase? Will he make it?
That's a great question. Season-ending, regular season finale this weekend in Indianapolis. Jimmy Johnson and, ironically enough, his teammate, Alec Bowman, are on the cut line. They're the two drivers they're in if it ended today. But the only way for someone else to get in right now is to win. There's too big of a gap in points, so you have to win. But if you win in Indy, either Jimmy Johnson or his teammate Alex Bowman are going to get bumped. And that's a precarious position. Yeah, I never thought we'd be talking about Jimmy Johnson not qualifying for the postseason.
All right, so we got to make our picks at Indy. What kind of track is that?
This is one of the larger tracks on the series. Cap about 2.5 miles.
What kind of track is Indy? Come on, it's legendary.
No, from a NASCAR setup. All right. How different is it?
Flat track. So really, the chassis setup.
It's not like a Chicagoland Speedway.
Is the key because these cars will get in the straightaway, and it's not so easy to turn. So making the right wedge adjustment, and by that I mean the tension of the springs and the tire pressure.
See, David,
is just critically important. So
special place.
Yep.
Yeah, there's. So. More to the setup of the chassis and how the aerodynamics go.
Ryan Newman. He's got a mechanical engineering degree.
I'm going to go Kyle Busch.
And he's a Hoosier.
Kyle Busch.
That's right.
There you go. All right, that's a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago is next, and it's Cubs and Brewers at 7. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you tomorrow live from Guaranteed Rate Field for Authentic Fan Night.